Well, listen to the junior church master here.
Now, out there flying at Delta, I often tell co-pilots that my next perfect flight will be my first perfect flight. Flying is the art of constantly correcting small errors to make sure they don't turn into large errors. When you find yourself off course, you do the best you can to immediately put your plane on a proper path to get to the destination that your boss wants you to go to. A pilot making a small mistake welcomes correction from the other pilot. Because if that happens, well, in a cockpit, it's not embarrassing. You end up landing at the wrong airport, land up getting way off course, you end up doing things you're not supposed to do, you're going to have a conversation with your boss. And a conversation probably with the FAA, who's not going to be pleased with you. So, that being the case, we welcome the correction from another pilot. We build each other's strengths up. We don't get into big arguments. We make the plane go where it needs to go. Today, we look at a book that's not often mentioned. A book which was an actual personal letter written from the Apostle Paul to a good friend. A book showing how to build up a brother, even if that brother needs a small, minor correction. A book showing how unity is possible in the Spirit, even if it is impossible in the flesh. A book that shows we can use correction as a way to build another person up. A way to make it so that walk with Christ becomes that much better. A way to make it so we're not demeaning that person, but we're pointing out just a way that he can even be better. Paul writes to his friend Philemon as a very strong Christian. A man with a church in his very own house. His son, Archippus, the pastor of the church at Colossae in that house, according to Colossians 4:17. A man who took his Christian faith very seriously and whose work had produced much fruit. A good man with a need, a small need for correction as he confused physical position with spiritual position. A good man made better as he would respond correctly to Paul's encouragement. A perfect example how to build each other member up, seeking to show them a closer walk with Jesus Christ rather than accusing them of falling so far short of that same Jesus Christ. Correcting, not attacking. Encouraging, not demeaning. Now we're going to look at this book in two parts. Today, building up a fellow worker. Next week, improving the life of a member. So let's look at Philemon. We're going to read the verses 1 through 9 today. So Philemon, right before Hebrews, right after Titus. I was talking to my wife. I don't think in the 10 years I've been pastor, I don't think I've ever quoted anything from this book. So it shows, it's a very important book, so it shows how little it is used and how much we can learn from it. So Philemon, starting in verse 1, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, we look today at a life well lived. We look at a day of a man seeking to be righteous in every way he possibly could. A man who showed great fruits of being a follower of Jesus Christ. And Paul asking for reconciliation with a slave who had run away. And correcting a small thing in Philemon, that Philemon may be that much better, that much closer, encouraged in the work where Paul praised him and then encouraged him to be even a better person. Let us learn from this, Lord. Let us learn that all of us fall short in so many ways. All of us need help from each other. All of us need to build each other up, not tear each other down, by pointing out how to have a walk that's even closer to Christ in more joy, allowing the church to rise up to serve Jesus Christ in spirit and truth. We ask all of us in your precious Son's dear name. Amen. Now, we see here, Paul writing a letter to a man he had very high regard for. A man to be relied on in the faith. A man to be trusted. A man to seek in a time of need. A man who loves his brethren and shows it in so many ways. So, he's not a man to offend. He's a man to be built up. A man to be encouraged. A man to show love back to. Paul praised his work. He didn't show condescension or disgust. Next week, we'll see Paul making a good man even better. For now, let us see how Paul builds up a friend, unifying a church, making the whole church stronger, because the church was in his house, and then taking care of a small problem before it takes a life off course and makes it so that church became less efficient. Let's look at, first of all, what Paul praises. First of all, he praises his commitment. Now, before we look there, let's look at one very quick note. In the start of this letter, we see that this is a letter of both praise and a slight reproof. So Paul does what one must do when speaking to an elder. Onesimus would inform Paul and Timothy why he left Philemon. Hearing the accusation against an elder, Paul and Timothy besought Philemon through a letter brought back to Onesimus. Now, from 1 Timothy 5:19, it says, "Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses." Paul's consistent. At the same time, he uses Timothy to bring a matter to Philemon, but also brings Timothy to show unity in the fact that they are praising Philemon in so many ways. So even as they bring an accusation to him, they're using using the other people at the same time to show that much more praise of Philemon's testimony. We see here that an accusation does not have to be an inquisition. Praising the commitment of Philemon, he is called a beloved fellow laborer, not a mere pupil, someone literally working alongside the Apostle Paul to bring forth the truth of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, to the church at Colossae. Colossae was a tough place. It needed strong people. Philemon was praised as someone that was a strong person. A man who obviously supports Paul in all his work and is not ashamed of his bonds. He praises the fruit of Philemon. His wife, Apphia, is also beloved in the faith. Archippus is thought to be his son. We're not sure of this, but he's thought to be his son. And he's praised as a fellow soldier in the battle. Very high praise. When Paul talks about someone being a fellow soldier, he's putting him right on the front lines, showing that this is a man who wants to take land away from Satan. And his wartime front was in the house of Philemon, making him a fellow soldier also. Now, using this term, a fellow soldier, displays the knowledge Paul had of the commitment of Philemon and his house. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 to 4. The 2 Timothy chapter 2, looking at verse 3. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man at warth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." He recognized that Archippus, Philemon, Apphia were all fellow soldiers. They all put their focus on Jesus Christ. They put their focus on the spiritual life over the physical. They didn't care so much about what they could get in this world. They wanted to please their master. And Paul was praising him heavily for this. It's very high praise, showing that the purpose of this letter is not the rebuke of a sinner, but a minor correction and a reconciliation of a new saint, which is Onesimus. Somebody receiving such high praise for his commitment from the Apostle Paul would have to be encouraged at this letter. I know I would be. See me getting a letter from Apostle Paul? Look how wonderful you are. Yeah, I'd be very encouraged. And I guarantee you, Philemon was encouraged as he started reading this letter. So what does he ask for Philemon? He asked Philemon that he receive grace and peace. In writing to churches, Paul often wished God's grace and peace to them. What's grace? Grace is the unmerited favor of the holy God to sinful man. That can be as a body of believers. It can also be for an individual. Grace for salvation and the forgiveness of sin, a gift given by the blood shed of Jesus Christ. Grace to fulfill a given call by Christ's power. Grace to overcome sin and to live righteously. That requires grace. You cannot do it on your own. Grace to learn to walk with Christ and to receive His joy. Well, when you receive His grace, with that grace comes the peace. We are no longer an enemy under His wrath. We've been looking at Revelation. We see what the result of God's wrath is on this world. We have peace realizing we are not under that wrath. We don't have to worry the eternal punishment because we have been reconciled by His grace and His peace to be adopted as sons and daughters of God. Peace knowing that if God be with us, who can be against us? Peace knowing that whatever God calls us to do, our labors will not be in vain. We might not see the results of the labors. We might not understand the fruit. But when we see Him at the Bema Seat, our labors will not be in vain and we'll know it. Peace knowing that Christ will never leave us nor forsake us and will call us home to live with Him for all eternity. Enmity with God has been turned to love from God. Paul asks for Philemon something that only God can give. As Philemon will learn with Onesimus, grace given to salvation as a slave will lead to unity and reconciliation with both of them, knowing that they are now sons of God and equal in the eyes of Jesus Christ. Paul desires not contention with Philemon, but only the grace and peace that can come from a loving and holy God. So with all this, he asks for that grace and peace. He looks at his commitment. Now he praises the testimony, basically the fruit that Philemon had in the city of Colossae. This was a man whose testimony was known by all, was very public, very popular. A man whom Paul regarded as far more than a mere friend. A man whom Paul counted as a brother. A man so close, he was often mentioned in Paul's prayer, thanking God for him. Once again, imagine the joy I would have. Apostle Paul writes me a letter. I thank you, George, so much for all that you do. Yeah, that would encourage me greatly. And I guarantee you, he encouraged Philemon in the same way. He speaks first of Philemon's love that was evident to everybody. So visible, he also closes with his testimony of love. A love so strong that all the saints reported to Paul that they were refreshed by him. If a saint came to the Colossae, Philemon would get out there and ensure that their needs were met. He would show them the love of Christ. He would open his house to them. This was a man who always put the needs of others in front of himself. This is a man who recognized Paul as one who lived Christ's words of John 15:17. These things I command you, that ye love one another. He followed the command. He was very good at it. This was not a feigned love to appear righteous, but a true love for the saints, which would unify the entire church at Colossae. If he was not the co-pastor, I'm not sure if he was or not, but if he was not the co-pastor, he was a very good example to Archippus. Now, Titus 1:8 says, of a pastor, he must be a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. Philemon was a lover of good men, and he proved it by showing it constantly to each other. Now we look at, they talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as the love chapter. Well, in the King James Bible, it says charity. Well, it's not charity. Charity just gives people. No, charity is agape love in action. That is what 1 Corinthians 13 calls us to do. That's exactly what Philemon did. It wasn't a feigned love. Yeah, I love my brethren. Now, go on and do something. He would put himself at their service. He showed the agape love of Jesus Christ. He had that charity of putting that love in action, and the saints knew it and praised him for it. This is a love that can only come from a true faith in the blood of Christ. A faith which focuses on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. A faith which gave His life to Christ, and Christ gave Him His mind and His heart and the agape love that can only come from Jesus Christ. The agape love that puts the needs of others in front of Himself by faith. Turn over to Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Something we've heard a few times in this church, but going all the way to verse 5 now. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He showed a perfect walk with Jesus Christ because he showed that same love. We would see that he needs to esteem others better than themselves. He'll learn how to do that better next week. But for now, it was a love that could only be manifested by faith in Jesus Christ. He took the opportunity of Galatians 6:10 to do good to all men, especially those who are part of the household of faith. His work of love could not happen without a faith in Christ to show that agape love. That love shown to all showed that he had a real, genuine, a faith that could not be faked, could not be feigned. And his fruit extended to the church as a body, and it all showed the same faith and love. His church was in Colossae. Turn to Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. We see his fruit. Colossians 1, starting at verse 3. Once again, listen to what Paul says. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. Philemon taught Archippus. Archippus is the pastor. Then showed that love, and that love extended, and it unified the body in the love of Jesus Christ. Philemon was truly a Christian man who should be emulated. So we see that now, setting up for next week, Paul set a good foundation. Now we look, and he continues his letter, and he makes a good man better. He had a flaw, small flaw. Flaw we'll look at next week. He has boldly praised with Timothy all of Philemon's strengths in the Lord. There's nothing in there, in those first seven verses, that would be anything but joy if I received a letter like that from the Apostle Paul. Now he will boldly beseech him to reconcile with Onesimus, a slave, someone beneath him, physically, but not spiritually. That's what Philemon would have to learn. A slave who could be put to death by Roman law. He ran away from Philemon. By Roman law, he could be put to death. A slave who probably stole from Philemon on the way out. Onesimus was not saved when he escaped. And as we'll see next week, he wasn't very useful. Now he is. A slave who is now saved and needed the same love from Philemon that he would show to every other person in that church. As Paul praised Philemon's love, he now shows the same love to him. Not commanding as he could, but beseeching him as a fellow laborer. An elder who has shown his testimony by being a willing prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, we see why we should correct others, meek and lowly. Now, you follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. Talked about that a few weeks ago. Why do you obey me? For your profit, my joy. My authority is limited. My authority is limited to remove you from a leadership position or to suggest that the membership remove someone from not following the Bible. That's the extent of my authority in this church. Paul had far more authority as an apostle. He was set up to establish this church. He was the one who wrote the Bible to allow me to follow Jesus Christ, that you could then follow me. He had the authority to chastise where I do not. But he didn't take that. He beseeched him as a brother. He put aside the command and asked him to look at things with him as someone who would come alongside him and show him the error of his ways. He was empowered to write the word I follow in order to follow Christ, that you can follow me as I said. And once again, I said, he was empowered to chastise people directly as he delivered Hymenaeus and Alexander to Satan that they might not learn to blaspheme. I cannot do that. I do not have that authority. I do not have that power. I don't want it, quite frankly. I don't have the grace to handle it correctly. Paul was given the grace to do it. Paul had that power, and he could have done it. He could have commanded Philemon to accept Onesimus back. You will accept him. He is saved, and as a Christian, you must. But he didn't want to do that. He didn't want to tear down and act superior to Philemon. He wanted to act as an equal, to show him the truth of the word, that Philemon could understand it as a fellow laborer. As I said, with his authority, Paul chose not to command as one perfect over a vile sinner, but as a fellow laborer, exhorting once again a good man to be better. Philemon was a good man. He was a righteous man. He was following the word. You have a small little speck in your eye, I'm going to help you with it. He didn't seek his own righteousness, but Christ's righteousness, which is what we must do with everybody. Now, I want to show hands here. How many are perfect? Another liar back there. So, We're not perfect. We understand that. Every one of us needs help. Every one of us needs to see the specks in their eyes. Every one of us needs to have people come alongside, because I don't have perfect knowledge of this Bible myself. So if someone does that, if they do it in love, we unify each other. We thank them because they're asking for a better walk with Jesus Christ, not, you know, you're holding the church back by your evil sin, you and I. Knock it off now. Well, that's not what we do. We recognize ourselves as being far from perfect. We see something in someone else that they don't realize. We help them. They get encouraged because we praise them first. So in this letter, starting off with Philemon, we see Paul focusing on Philemon's Christian love, his faith, his fruit, showing he recognizes him as a righteous man. He recognizes him as a fellow laborer, as a brother, someone he could count on. He displays that love as he prays and thanks God for this fellow laborer and brother in the faith. Not as some person needing leadership from someone far superior in the faith, but as another Christian honored by Paul, another Christian who is seeking a closer walk with Jesus Christ, another Christian who wants to become better. The correction to follow is not an attack on a man who fell so far short of a holy God, but an encouragement to show the same love and faith to a slave who wronged you, quite frankly, wronged you badly, ran away. Now he's come back. You don't look at him as a slave. You don't look at him to attack. You don't use the Roman law. You now accept him. It's an encouragement to show that love, not an attack. A man who is now another fellow laborer. Onesimus is now a fellow laborer. Yes, one who needs to be discipled, be brought up. Paul will call him his son in the faith. Philemon needs to do the same thing. Build him up. Teach him how to be better. Show him the love and forgiveness if Onesimus will learn what Christ is like and can do the same for someone else. The captain of his own testimony will soon receive correction from a man coming to his side to ensure that a very small error will not form a root of bitterness, will not make it so he wants to attack this man, will not make it so it takes the church way off base, will attack Onesimus as someone who has sinned against him and destroy the unity that had been formed in Colossae, ensuring his church will land at the destination that God has called. How often do we see someone in error? And what do? We immediately go to that error. Don't you read the Bible? Don't you understand what that word says? Don't you understand how far you're falling short? It's easy to do that. How often do we do that? It's not what Paul did. Paul started off pointing out the testimony that we should have, pointing out the love that he showed. If we attack the person immediately, they're immediately going to put up their defenses. They're immediately going to point out some area you have. Now, I got plenty. I attack you, you're going to attack me right back. We tear each other down, we destroy unity, and we make Satan thrilled as we take our focus off Jesus Christ, his agape love, and we put our focus on our own self-righteousness. How much better would it be if we focused on the faith and love of each other, praying and giving thanks for each and every one of us in here as we seek to be a unified church, seeking his righteousness and not our own, seeking to build each other up, realizing every one of us is a fallen sinner. Every one of us is wrong. Every one of us falls so far short because we have the flesh that attacks us. Then, after praising and admitting beams in your own eyes, exhorting others to help them see the small specks in their eyes, and accepting correction from them at the same time, showing that you're not showing yourself superior, but you're trying to build each other up, using it as an example to get closer to Christ. A unified, joyful, loving, faithful church focused on Christ and seeking to refresh each other in his work would be a joyful Berea. Wouldn't that be a great thing? Are we there? No. Will we ever be fully there? No, we won't be. Just like my wife and I are one flesh, perfect in every way. Enjoy, never arguing with each other, right? She's going to preach next week on lying from me. But the closer we can get the ideals they put in the Bible, the better our marriage will be, the more joyful our marriage will be, and the better picture of Jesus Christ and the church we will show the world. It's the same way with the church. This church will never be perfect. It's not led by a perfect pastor. The members are not perfect. We need to help each other. We need to build each other up. We need to recognize the fact that every one of us are trying to have a better walk with Jesus Christ. And we need to have our own faults pointed out and be thankful for it as people come to build us up. Not to tear us down, but to build us up as we try to get a closer walk with Jesus Christ. If we do that, we will joyfully accept minor corrections, and then we'll have the other people do the same because they see we're not hypocrites trying to point fingers. And our church will grow in grace and agape love. Let us praise each other's work. There's a lot of work going on right now. Now, Rich talked about the work that's going to have to happen with this fall festival we have. There's a lot of work coming on. We need to praise each other for it, help each other, point out where, maybe that's not such a good idea. Maybe it falls short. But do it in a way that we're recognizing each other's strengths. Now, next week, we're going to look at encouraging exhortation, where Philemon does get corrected by Paul. But even in that correction, it's building the man up. That's what we need to learn to do. And it's not something that comes natural to man. Satan loves to tear down. That's what Satan is best at. And he's the one that controls the flesh. Let's avoid doing that. Let's build each other up, bringing corrections, taking them very seriously, but taking very seriously to men who are trying to walk closer with Jesus Christ and build each other up with that. And with that, let's realize what the important thing is. I'll live for him. Turn your hymnals to page 483. Verses you've heard often in the church, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. If someone needs correction, we need to correct them to build them up, to make them closer to that perfect person. I'm not there. None of us are. But we build people up, they'll accept that correction as they realize we're not trying to attack. You know, it's easy to attack someone's weakness if I happen to be strong in that area. We need to realize I'm just weak in just different areas, and they could do the same thing to me. Pointing fingers is not a good thing. Looking at Christ, drawing everyone to him, that's what we need to do. That's exactly what Paul did to Philemon. I welcome you to read that again and see exactly how we should make small corrections. And as we go to prayer, I would ask, the only way to have that agape love that we're talking about is to be saved, is to have accepted the blood of Christ. If you've never done that, make today that day. Come up as we're praying, and as I close, I will show you exactly how to be saved. It's not my way, Bible's way. If you don't want my way is not perfect. His way is. So, as we get ready to pray, ask God to unify this body. Ask him how you can unify this body. How you can be used to build each other's up. And if you have been attacking anybody, and we all do, I'm included in that, ask forgiveness for it and go to that person and build that unity that Colossae had. I'd love to see that same thing here in Berea, and we can do it if we follow his way. So after Molly plays quietly for a verse, I'll close us in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that we serve such a loving God. A God that does give us grace and peace. A God who has given us the ability to be reconciled to a holy God, as fallen as we are, as sinful as we are. By the blood of Christ, Lord, shed on our behalf. Our penalty paid, if we accept that blood, we can be adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High God. And Lord, when Jesus led captivity captive, he brought gifts to men. You have given each one of us strengths, but they're only certain strengths, Lord. With those strengths, we can help build each other's up, build other people up where they're weak. But at the same time, Lord, we have flesh that is weak, and their strengths can build us up. Let us learn how to do that, Lord, pointing out from the Word your perfect wisdom, pointing out from the Word how to have a closer walk with Jesus Christ, receiving the joy of having that walk and then wanting to follow you even closer. And Lord, let us learn how to unify as a church. Teach us your perfect Word, your perfect way, your perfect will. Write it in our hearts, and let us do the study that it'll be there, that we can call on it when we need. And let us build each other up. And if there's anybody here who's not saved yet, Lord, has never accepted their free gift, let today be the day that they look at your word, realize that you have paid the cost, and realize that today they can have that same love, grace, peace, and unity that I've been talking about. We ask it all in your precious Son's dear name. Amen.